All right, we're looking at organic evolution has never been observed, and tonight we want to look at altruism. Are you familiar with the word altruism? Altruism, the altruistic attitude is to help others, even at a sacrifice to yourself, being altruistic. So humans and many animals will endanger or even sacrifice their lives to save another, sometimes the life of another species. Gordon Rattray Taylor, formerly chief science advisor for BBC television, in The Great Evolution Mystery, said, "The existence of altruism between different species, which is not uncommon, remains an obstinate enigma." Obstinate enigma. There's some words for you to put into a conversation. Just last week, I was struck down by obstinate enigma. Obstinate, of course, is hard to remove. An enigma is a puzzle. Some inherited behavior is lethal to the animal, but beneficial to unrelated species. For example, dolphins sometimes protect humans from deadly sharks. How many have heard those stories? Yeah, I think it happened with the sinking of the Indianapolis. They were in the water for many, many hours, days. Many animals, goats, lambs, rabbits, horses, frogs, toads, scream when a predator discovers them. Now, this increases their exposure. The scream draws attention to them, but it warns other species. So even that would be altruistic. The problem for evolutionists is that natural selection, which they say selects individual characteristics, should rapidly eliminate altruistic, self-sacrificing individuals. They should not live. Natural selection means survival of the fittest. So the strongest, the fastest, they live and maybe even eat the weaker. So the weak characteristics are weeded out, and the strong being the survivors, they their strength and those characteristics are bred into the rest of them. So that'd be the idea of evolution. So where does altruism fit into this, you see? Its possession, how could such risky, costly behavior ever be inherited? To possess that altruistic tendency tends to prevent the altruistic individual from passing his genes on for altruism. So the guy that sacrifices himself, a rabbit, whatever it is, who sacrifices himself for others, dies. And so dies with him his genetic characteristics. So the altruistic one tends to be more like the weak one in that he's not the hero with armor and a sword. He's the guy that's sacrificing himself to help somebody else. From an evolutionist point of view, a very costly form of altruism occurs when an animal forgoes reproduction. Reproduction is the whole goal in evolutionary thinking, to pass on the strong points that you have. When an animal forgoes reproduction while caring for another individual's young, this occurs in some human societies where a man has multiple wives who share in raising the children of one wife. Now, that might be just because he'll beat them up if they don't do that, but anyway. More well-known examples include celibate individuals, such as nuns and many missionaries, who devote themselves to helping others. Such traits should never have evolved, or if they accidentally arose, they should quickly die out. So, not having children means none of your genetic traits are passed on. Adoption is another example. Cleo Sullivan, in The Adoption Paradox, written in Discover magazine, said, "From a Darwinian standpoint, going childless by choice is hard enough to explain, but adoption, as the arch-Darwinist Richard Dawkins notes, is a double whammy. Not only do you reduce or at least fail to increase your own reproductive success, but you improve someone else's. Since the birth parent is your rival in the great genetic steeplechase, a gene that encourages adoption should be knocked out of the running in fairly short order. Adoption is known even among mice, rats, skunks, llamas, deer, caribou, kangaroos, wallabies, seals, sea lions, dogs, pigs, goats, sheep, bears, and many primates. Altruism is also shown by some people who have pets, a form of adoption, especially individuals who have pets instead of having children. Humans, vertebrates with the backbones, and invertebrates frequently help raise the unrelated young of others. Now, this phrase, unrelated, is a key to this whole mess. You're going to see that the only argument that the evolutionists can come up with is that there is a sense that by giving yourself altruistically, you're helping the clan. You're helping the people you're related to. So here, they're helping people that are not even part of your clan. Tim Clutton-Brock, Breeding in the magazine Science, it is not clear that the degree of relatedness is consistently higher in cooperative breeders than in other species that live in stable groups but do not breed cooperatively. What he says is, it's not clear, it has not been shown that how you are related to the other group has anything to do with whether they are altruistic or not, whether they help their group or others. So he goes on to say, in many societies of vertebrates as well as invertebrates, differences in contributions to rearing young do not appear to vary, to be different with the relatedness of helpers, if they're related or not. And several studies of cooperative birds and mammals have shown that helpers can be unrelated to the young they are raising, and that the unrelated helpers invest as heavily as close relatives. So the equality of helping my relatives versus helping people that have nothing to do with me, there is no balance, there is no equation here. Now, he goes on to say that in this study that Mr. Clutton-Brock did, six different studies were cited in support of the conclusions. So he's not just airing his thoughts. Six different studies were cited to show this. So they haven't proved that relatedness causes them to be altruistic. If evolution were correct, selfish behavior should have completely eliminated unselfish behavior. You see that? I'm the strongest and biggest, and I'm going to get the food before you do it. Selfish. Carl Sigmund and others, Economics of Fair Play, Scientific American. Ultimately, moral guidelines determine an essential part of economic life. Moral guidelines. I think we can grasp the idea that evolution would not pass on moral guidelines. You know, what gene would that travel on? How could such forms of social behavior evolve? This is a central question for Darwinian theory. The prevalence of altruistic acts, providing benefits to a recipient at a cost to the donor, can seem hard to reconcile with the idea of the selfish gene, the notion that evolution at its base acts solely to promote genes that are most adept at engineering their own proliferation, their own multiple children. Benefits and costs are measured in terms of the ultimate biological currency, reproductive success. genes that reduce this success are unlikely to spread in a population. So, in Scientific American, he says, altruism can't come as a result of evolution. Furthermore, cheating and aggression should have weeded out cooperation. There shouldn't be any altruism left if all through these years cheating and aggression would wipe out those who are willing to stand in the way. Altruism contradicts evolution. Some evolutionists propose the following explanation for this long-standing and widely recognized problem for evolution. This is what I was mentioning earlier. Here's their excuse. Altruistic behavior may prevent the altruistic individual from passing on his or her genes, but that altruistic activity may benefit the individual's clan that carries a few of those genes. So something inside makes them work for the clan. This hypothesis has five problems. The last two, he says, are fatal to the theory. Number one, observations do not support it. They can't show any proof on this. Just a thought, just an idea. Tim Chatbrock article that we read, I pointed out some of that. Number two, Stuart A. West and others, Cooperation and Competition Between Relatives in Science magazine. Altruistic behavior toward relatives may at some later time lead to increased competition between relatives, reducing or even completely removing the net selective advantage of altruism. So if I sacrifice for the tribe then didn't suffer loss because of my sacrifice. Now there's many there. Well, while there's many, they're fighting for the food, they're fighting for power, they're fighting for mates and all this type of thing. So now they're fighting within each other, and that wipe out the benefit. Three, if individual X's altruistic trait was inherited, that trait should be carried recessively in only half the individual's brothers and sisters. The rate of passing on these traits, only half of them would inherit it. 1/8 of the first cousins, etc. So the key question then is, does this fractional altruism benefit these relatives enough that they sire enough children with the altruistic trait? On the average, one or more in the next generation must have the trait, or it would have disappeared. And no generation can ever lose the trait, or all altruism would disappear. Otherwise, the trait will become extinct. All right, the last two that he said kill the theory. Number four, from an evolutionist perspective, all altruistic traits originated as a mutation. All right? How did it happen in the first place? God put it within him? No. It was cosmic rays hitting a DNA, a mutation. Now, that means that the brothers, sisters, or cousins of the first person to have the mutation would not have the trait. Just this baby in the womb or whatever got hit with a mutation as it was developing and ended up altruistic. That'd be the only one. See, these don't happen often, and certainly not to improve them. Even if many relatives benefited from the altruism, the trait would not survive the first generation. So at the beginning, go back to the beginning, cosmic rays bombard the DNA and this altruistic child is born. The altruistic child gives himself to save the family, and he's dead. So there it went. There went the only one that had it. So the fifth one, the hypothesis fails to explain altruism between different species. They're not related at all. See, Without discussing examples that require a knowledge of the life pattern of such species, consider the simple example above of humans who forego having children in order to care for animals. Nothing genetic in the urge to be altruistic, and therefore it cannot be passed on, that type of thing. Edward O. Wilson was an early proponent of this evolutionary explanation. That was what he had adopted to help the group, help the relation. But now he recognized it's a failing. In his interview, the Discover interview in Discover magazine, "I found myself moving away from the position I'd taken 30 years ago, which has become the standard theory, because it's about the only one they have left. What I've done is to say that maybe collateral kin selection is not so important. This idea of it being related," he says, "it doesn't seem to matter. These ants and termites in the early stages of evolution, they can't recognize kin like that." One termite says, "Brother, I haven't seen you." So they have this idea. So there's very little evidence, he says, that they are determining who's a brother, a sister, a cousin, and so on. They are not acting to favor collateral kin. None of this makes sense. Yet here is altruism, something put in man and others by a God of love. All right. How many have heard of animals taking care of humans as well? Yeah. Yeah. Nancy?
Two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you smell like my cousin.
They actually do recognize each other.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know.
Right, yeah.
The other thing is, if you read or follow any of the narcissism ideas, that people sometimes just raise their children so that their children will take care of them in their old age. So it's to keep them from dying early, even though they've already reproduced.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep. Yeah. My wife had read a story about a boy that 6 years old that got lost in a cold area, and some elks came around, and the boy had fallen down, was getting ready to sleep in the cold and would die. And the elks came around, just laid next to him, kept him warm all night through the snow. So, what in the world evolution? Huh? Yeah. So what kind of evolution would produce that?